Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys. This has to be like...
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
Hello, everybody. If you are new to Backseat Rider and don't currently use the Lyft app, just want you to be aware of my promo code. Lyft is not a sponsor of this podcast, but every Lyft driver gets a promo code, and I am no exception. My code is Backseat Rider, all one word. It's just the name of this podcast. And it is good for up to $50 in free ride credit on Lyft. And if you use it, it helps me out a lot. And before we get to this week's episode, to another company who is a sponsor of Backseat Rider, and that is TrueCar, who gives us some useful car tips that you might not be aware of. For example, did you know a coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil can clean your interior? Or that removing excess weight from your car will improve your gas mileage? Or that you can place your key fob on your chin to increase its range? It's weird, right? Well, here's another tip you also might not know about, and that is that TrueCar also helps people get used cars. That's right. TrueCar isn't just for buying new cars. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you will enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience, whether you buy new or used. And with TrueCar, users can see what others paid, so they know if they're getting a good deal before buying. They're also more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with TrueCar certified dealers. So when you're ready to buy a new or a used car, check out TrueCar and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com presentation.
My husband would probably kill me for saying this, but I don't believe in the one.
The way that they look at each other is definitely, like, that makes me believe that there is the one.
I don't think I can believe that there's only, like, one person out there for everybody regardless, you know?
Do you believe in the one, or do you believe that there are multiple people out there for everybody?
If I say I believe in both, I believe in both.
This episode is likely going to be finding many of you on Valentine's Day itself, which personally I find to be a rather high-pressure holiday. It's kind of like New Year's Eve where there's pressure to do something great. But at the very least, it's an excuse to visit the topic of love and relationships, which we haven't done on the podcast in quite a while. And this week, we will be exploring how this week's passengers have found love in 2018. But before we get to those stories, I started this week's rides with an icebreaker about this whole concept of the one, you know, some kind of all-encompassing perfect soulmate that you're just destined to end up with.
Do you believe in the one?
No.
Okay. Here's a 37-year-old who works as a real estate agent. She and her husband, they've been married for the last 6 years, and that afternoon, I had picked her up from Wicker Park, right on Milwaukee Avenue, for a ride to the heart of Old Town.
What informs that opinion, that the one is not a thing?
I think it's different for everybody. I certainly do. But I think that being in a relationship, whether it's marriage or, you know, or otherwise, it's different than having a physical relationship. I think you could have physical relationship with more than one person, but still be in a relationship with one person. And many people disagree with that, I know, but I don't believe in just that one. I think you can love people in many different ways for many different qualities. I just feel like there's so many people in the world. How can I just say this one person fits all of my needs? I think that's very, very difficult to say. And with that respect, I think being in a relationship, especially with marriage, I think marriage is more about having respect and starting a family versus just saying he's the one, you know, or he's my partner in life and such. I think it's more about respect and companionship versus just, oh my God, he's the one. I'm so in love with him. So I think love has many, many different meanings to it.
When I say, do you believe in the one, how do you define the one? You know, is it like a naive notion that it's this all-encompassing person that is perfect on every level? Like, where does your mind go when you think of people who believe in the one?
I think people who believe in the one have this fairy tale idea of what it should be. And I think it's more of lust, especially with all of these movies that are played out on TV that have unset, unrealistic expectations of people, especially women, of what it should be and what it should feel like. And for men as well. Like, men are supposed to do these certain things, you know, like they're supposed to be handsome. They're supposed to dress a certain way. They're supposed to provide. So we think that that's the one. I think it's a lot of pressure on both ends to be perfect. And if you don't fit that mold, then you're not the one. And I think that people don't realize that there is no mold. Movies and advertising, it tends to glamorize what the one should be versus just, you know, just living life and being happy.
Just think about how often these portrayals of ideal, perfect relationships are hammered into our brains from the time we're little. She mentions movies and advertising, but think about social media too. Social media, couples naturally just cherry pick only the very best moments of their relationships to present to the rest of the world. So it's not exactly reality.
You know, sometimes you have to deal with the cards you're dealt. Back in our parents' age, you know, people got married because, I think, less to do with love, but more for necessity to survive. They didn't have social media. They didn't have all these other pressures. It was more to start a family. And I think people forget that. I'm not saying one needs to be married to be happy. I think I would rather be single than be forced into a relationship, you know, and be completely unhappy. Plenty of people are. People stay in relationships for many, many different reasons. But I think this concept of the one is totally ludicrous.
I hope I am with the one. That's, you know, but do I feel like I'm with someone whom I can see the future with? Yes. But I can see growing up to age 70, 80, you know, one of us go before the other type thing. Yes. Nursing home together. Yes.
This guy's 30 years old. And that day I picked him up in a Walgreens parking lot. This was in the Belmont Cragen neighborhood. And he needed a ride to work, which was a major hospital. That's where he works as a patient care technician in the cardiology department. So that means he deals with a lot of patients who are undergoing heart surgery. So it's not exactly low stress.
Yes, I actually was a military medic also. So I served with the United States Army as an Army medic.
He's got a serious girlfriend at the moment, and his whole take on the one echoes what the real estate agent said.
Being male, you know, growing up man, as a man, you know, you're not always taught to, you're taught to pursue the one, but most of the time, you know, when the world talks about the one, it's always displayed as small hardships, but everything is rosy and peachy and everything like that. And then you see the reality of it, and it's like, well, why are divorces so high? Why do couples break up so quick? It's because they expected this fantasy.
I think at a certain time in your life, there's a one, but I also think that if that one gets away, or if that, you know, opportunity doesn't work out, then there's another one at another time in your life.
This woman's in her late 20s. She's currently single, and she does event planning for a pretty major athletic organization. And similar to our first two riders, she is another non-believer in the one. So we got a trend going here.
I'm going to say that I don't believe in that. I don't think I've ever really thought about it that hard, though. So as I'm talking through this, maybe I'll change my mind. But I think it's more timing than anything else. I'm one of those people.
What informs that opinion for her is in high school, she says she dated somebody great who might have easily worked out long term had they met when they were a little bit older.
I mean, we're still good friends. We still keep in touch and everything. And I'm not saying that, like, I've given up on that quite yet. But it's also like, you know, if we went separate ways for college for different reasons. And, you know, I just think, like, if it was at another time in our lives, you know, that we had the relationship we had, I think then it would have worked out a different way.
She can probably imagine she wasn't the only one who spoke of timing as being just as important of a factor as meeting the right person.
I think that probably when you're ready to a certain degree, that person comes into your life. Like,
this is a 36-year-old. She works as a teacher in a small town in Texas. And I had just picked her up from O'Hare, along with some other Lyft line riders. So there's other folks in the car who are strangers. And we'll talk about how she met her husband in a few minutes. But first, because it's Valentine's Day, quick story about love in her own fourth grade classroom.
They have, like, mega crushes on each other. Like, it's really ugly when they're like, he likes her, and be like, no, make him quit talking about me. So they're very touchy at that age about their crushes.
Do you know as the teacher who has a crush on who?
Is that a story? What?
No.
Do you know as the teacher, tell which students have a crush on who?
Yes, sometimes. Yes. And then, I don't know, then they're just being weird sometimes too.
But
you try to put them together. Because in the small towns, a lot of people marry their high school sweetheart. Because they go to elementary school together and then high school, and they'll just get married. And so I can already kind of see some. I think, no,
they could be forever. So
there's some burgeoning romances?
Yes. There's this one sweet Hispanic little boy, and he's got, like, this, because half of our population is Hispanic,
right,
in the town that I'm in, and he's got, like, this just clan of Hispanic girls that, like, flock to him, and, like, they all sit at his pod, and, I mean, he's, like, the man. We're a fourth grader. He's got skills, so he's always winking at me, too. I'm like, dude, don't wink at me.
Believe it or not, I only drove one passenger all week who seemed to at least partially buy in to this concept of the one.
Do I believe in the one? Well, I come from, like, so my parents are both married and they have been for, you know, 40, I don't even know how long, 30, 40 years. And the way that they look at each other is definitely, like, that makes me believe that there is the one.
He's 24. And he works for a pretty major tech product manufacturer. And that day, I was driving him from Old Town to South Michigan Avenue.
But in terms of, like, now, it feels like I'm straying further and further away from that. Just because, I don't know, I just recently got out of a relationship. And I think I backed out of it because I kind of had this feeling in the back of my head, maybe, you know, this person isn't the one.
And when he said that, I immediately thought of what the other passenger said about how believing in the one leads to very unrealistic expectations.
I think, yeah, I definitely think that there's someone out there that is for you and that you can really hone in and find, you know, everything that you'd ever want in a significant other, and that person's out there. You know, you fall so deeply in love with them that nothing and no other person could, you know, ever matter.
Was there a specific quality about your ex that you mentioned that made you have that realization that, whoa, this person may not be the one?
Yeah, so in previous relationships, I've always kind of backed out as soon as I found something that I didn't like. And I guess that was kind of like a character flaw, where as soon as I found one small thing that I wasn't a fan of, I was like, okay, I gotta end it just because I don't like that one thing. So with this relationship, I kept an open mind and I was like, okay, don't back out at the first, you know, little thing that you find maybe you're not a huge fan of in this person. Mm-hmm. So I went, you know, like, I just dove in. I absolutely just went for it, and I was like, okay, I'm just gonna let my feelings, you know, run wild, and I'm just gonna stay with this person and just see where it goes. And we had, like, I felt, like, really hard for her, and at the beginning of the relationship, she told me she had a little bit of an alcohol issue, but then, as the relationship went on, I kind of looked into it a little bit more, and it just turned into something that I wasn't, like, a huge fan of. So that's when I, like, officially backed out. So I guess that was, like, the one quality. So it was kind of a little bit, it was a little heavy, and it was really hard because I was in love with this person.
Uh-huh.
And I had to end things knowing that, it was going to suck for the time being, but in the long run, it just wouldn't have worked out because that one quality would have turned into maybe something worse. So, it was at that point I found, okay, maybe this person isn't the one, but I could find, you know, there's millions of other women out there, and I could find people that possess all of, you know, the good qualities that I like and just not have that one quality. Alcohol abuse is, you know, it's not something that people just choose to do. It's, you know, something with, you know, the chemicals in your brain and how you, you know, react to things. So I wanted to go in with an open mind as someone who struggled with, like, anxiety and depression. I know what that, you know, like, those feelings are like, and wanting to find a solution in some way or another. So some people turn to alcohol. So I wanted to go in with an open mind and say, like, okay, maybe I can you know, try to help and, you know, help this person through this. But the turning point, or I guess, like, the anecdote, as you said, was when she kind of admitted that she really wasn't ready to stop, like, drinking and things like that. So I was like, okay, if you're not willing to even give it a shot, then, you know, where does that leave me? You know, I'm working on myself. I'm trying to help, you know, get rid of, like, my panic attacks and, like, these depression episodes. And that's something I work on every day. You know, that's why I'm going to the doctor right now. But then, like, if that she wasn't willing to work on it, then, you know, why should I spend time with that person, falling deeply in love with them, when this huge part of them they're not willing to work on? So that was the point where I was like, okay, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. I thought about it for a while. Tons of sleepless nights where I, you know, was really, really, like, torn on whether or not I should do it. But then in the end, I kind of had to be selfish about it and say, okay, like, this is my life and it's my happiness, and I can choose who I want to be with, and this person just isn't the one. So I definitely believe that someone's out there. I'm thinking about moving city soon, so it'll be a new chapter to kind of reset everything and look for the, you know, look for the right one for me.
At this point, I am really hoping that the pressure is off for anybody out there who is still maybe looking for some kind of never-ending honeymoon stage with someone else. It doesn't exist. Okay, at least that's my opinion. Doesn't exist. I agree with all these passengers. Still, with that said, about half of my riders this week have found really, really good matches. And so coming up, the stories of how they were all brought together.
Like, he stepped out of his pickup and he was wearing his starched jeans and he had a southern accent and he just, like, I don't know. I was in an overload, and so that was it.
Those stories are coming up in just a minute, but first I need to pause for a quick moment to tell you about one of the sponsors that is making it possible for me to bring you Backseat Rider for free, and that is Geico. Everybody has got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Well, here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you got to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket, it just may be the most rewarding to-do you do today.
Hey, it's Rob Riggle.
And Sarah Tiana.
And you are listening to Riggle's Pit. Yeah, and a ham horn, and we have a new podcast.
You can find our show exclusively on the Podcast One app, on PodcastOneSports.com, and don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
Every Thursday, we're going to sit around and we're going to talk about the things that really excite us, like life, comedy, sports, a lot of sports.
Ourselves.
A lot of Sarah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you join us.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze. And it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys.
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
Welcome back. It is now time to hear from this week's cast on how they met their significant others. And we're going to start off with our very wise real estate agent who told us a little earlier that the whole concept of the one is, quote, totally ludicrous.
I met my husband the old-fashioned way at a bar. We were at the Wynn Hotel. It was him and his other doctor friend. And his doctor friend goes, of course he had to say he's a doctor, but I thought that was such a turnoff. His friend said that. And then we exchanged cards because I was in real estate. And his friend, he said, oh, his mom's in real estate too. And he wanted my number so we could exchange and do referrals. And he's like, oh, my friend is also looking. Now my husband is also looking for a place. So it turns out my husband called me the next day to ask me out, which I thought was a turnoff. And fast forward, so I never called him back. 8 9 months down the line, the same friend who I was doing referrals with, he's like, you know, he's still looking for a place, and the rest is history. I said, okay, sure. So that just shows, you know, especially if neither one of us were desperate. I think if it's meant to be, it's going to meant to. It's just meant to be. You know, there's no rush. I never thought I was going to get married. I got married at 31, which in retrospect, I'm 37 now, seems very young. But at that age, in my generation, that was kind of old. And he's 6 years older than I am. I didn't think I was okay not getting married or having kids because I was fiercely independent. And he was the same. So when we got together, we really enjoyed our company. But I think the number one quality is that we have ultimate respect for each other. Without respect, I don't think a relationship can work. I think you can be... A lot of people say, oh, he's really nice, he takes care of me, you know, he's good in bed or whatever it is. But those are things that anybody can have. Those are very general qualities. But to gain respect, I think it takes a lot of work to have someone's respect.
I took a chance. Yeah, I asked her out.
Here's a guy who was on his way to the cardiology unit that day where his now girlfriend used to work as well.
And she would say hi to me all the time. And I never realized, because I had my headphones on. It tells you, you know, how in your world you can be. So finally, you know, we ran into an incident where, you know, there was a patient about to elope.
When he says elope, that doesn't mean run away to Vegas to get married. I guess it's hospital speak for a patient who tries to leave the premises before getting treated. So he and his now girlfriend had never really spoken when one day they both wound up chasing down the same patient who was trying to escape the hospital.
And I'm not one to be so aggressive towards reestablishing a baseline with someone who may be in a state of altered mental status, right? Or who may be in a state of panic. But together... the patient ended up all the way throughout the hospital, downstairs to where she was. And that's where we met, working together to encourage this patient to, return to the floor and take care of their needs, you know, to trust in the system that was in place to take care of them.
That's a cool way to meet somebody.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It's, you know, a lot of things happening. a lot of adrenaline is going, you know, hearts racing, kind of like an action movie, but low level.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we really didn't have too much in common. Believe it or not, we were opposites of each other completely. And that was one of the things we would end up learning about each other, is that we were completely different people with completely two different sets of needs from each other, of what we desired from each other. But there was that baseline that had already been established, which was love. And since that baseline was established already, it wasn't about changing, you know, yourself to accommodate the person. It went back to what I said earlier. How, you know, what type of person do you want to be? You know, like, it's all about giving the other person everything you have, you know, and not always thinking about what you want from them. And by doing that, both people end up happy in the end. You know, if I live to please her and she lives to please me, then we both win.
I got married late. I got married when I was 28, which seems late.
How old are you? You look very young.
36.
Oh my God, you look very
I waited
young.
Too long. My ex got angry.
Here we have the Lyft line ride. So it's a car full of people, some of them strangers, and our small town fourth grade teacher who was visiting Chicago from Texas.
And before I became a school teacher, I did fundraising for our governor in Kansas. Mm-hmm. And so I would get fixed up with lobbyists all the time, just lobbyists and people that I met at fundraising parties. And so it was like the same person over and over again. And finally, I was in Talbots one day and a lady said, "You should get on eHarmony because you should meet somebody." I was like, okay. So I was really embarrassed, but I got on eHarmony. And so we started visiting and we talked on the phone for like 3 months. And finally, he said, "I'm going to come meet you." And so we drove 9 hours from Texas to Kansas.
Oh, wow.
And like he stepped out of his pickup and he was wearing his starched jeans and he had a southern accent. And he just like, I don't know. I was in an overload. And so that was it. Yeah. So we dated long distance for 2 years.
Wow.
And then I was like, either you need to propose or we need to break up.
How
and so
was long
he proposed
distance?
Over the phone. So it's good.
How was long distance? Was it hard?
I mean, we talked on the phone like every single night for an hour at least. It was tough because I missed him so much.
Right.
And, you know, he's 7 years older than me. So he's kind of an old bachelor. And that made it. He was like really unsure about moving me to a town of 3,000 people in the middle of nowhere. But I was kind of like ready to get away from all the people, you know, because I had a job where I was always around people and everything was so superficial and like, what can you give me for what I'm giving to you? You know, I just wanted to be done with it. So anyways, so now my career is not as exciting, but I did find the love of my life. So.
So when you said we either got to break up or you got to propose, did he propose on the spot?
No.
Or did he wait a little bit?
It was like a few days later and he called me and he acted really nervous. And he said, I was wondering, you know, I'd like to ask you to be my wife. And then the phone went dead and he thought that I hung up on him. and so he called me back and he said, "Did you hang up on me?" And I said, "No, the phone just went dead. I thought you hung up on me." And so anyways, I didn't even think I was going to get a diamond ring or anything because he just asked me over the phone and it was just kind of, you know, very nonchalant. So, but.
Looks like you got a diamond ring.
I did. Yes, I got one.
Some really nice success stories this week. But before we go, I want to leave you with a story from a passenger who is not the biggest fan of today's festivities.
I don't particularly like Valentine's Day. I'm single now, but even when I've been in relationships during it, I don't know. I just can't really get bought into it. I think I'm not a huge romantic anyway, but I don't know. Just the thought of having one day dedicated to wining and dining each other is kind of unnecessary in my opinion.
This is our event planner who we heard from who spoke about timing as being just as important as meeting the right person. And if you happen to be going out on a first date tonight and it doesn't go well, or if you're listening to this perhaps after the fact and it didn't go well, well, maybe this first date story will help you put things in perspective.
It felt more like a sitcom than anything else. You know, do you ever have those moments when you're like, there's no way this is real. Like, this is scripted somehow.
Yes.
So, I'm allergic to peanuts. And the guy, we do the whole, like, dinner thing and blah, blah, blah. And we actually, we were both in town for, like, a mutual occasion. So, we went, it was in Omaha, actually. And we were out down by, like, TD Ameritrade, where they do the College World Series and all that. And I can't remember how we got in the situation, but we were, like, at a bar, or maybe we just finished dinner or something, and somehow he got a hold of, like, a Snickers bar. So, like, I went to the bathroom, and I can't remember if we were somewhere with a vending machine or, you know, whatever. Somehow he gets a Snickers bar and eats a Snickers bar. I come back. I didn't realize any of this had happened, right? So then a little bit later, we're making out, and I was like, whoa. I was like, wait, did you have peanuts, like, with dinner or something? Because, you know, I can, like, I instantly feel it. And he's like, what? No? And then he was like, oh, shit, wait, I had a Snickers bar. And I was like, oh, my God. So I spent the next hour, like, throwing up in the bathroom. I'm sure he felt, like, worse. I was embarrassed because I was in that situation. I'm sure he felt bad that, you know, he put me in that situation. It was just, oh, it was awful.
She comes out of the bathroom. The allergic reaction wasn't going away. And so her first date ended not with more making out, but with the guy taking her to a hospital in Omaha, Nebraska.
We still keep in touch and stuff. It's not really weird anymore. I wouldn't say we're close friends by any means, but still, I mean, he'll, you know, randomly he'll, like, see a Snickers commercial and stuff, and he'll Snapchat it to me, and, like, things like that. Like, thanks, asshole.
All right, if you would care to share your own perspective on either the topic of the one, or maybe how you met your significant other, or perhaps share a dating horror story to make us all feel better, please join up with me and other listeners in the Backseat Rider community on Facebook. I will be starting a discussion thread in there with the very unlikely way that I met my wife, Maggie. So check that out. All you got to do is search Facebook groups for Backseat Rider community. Request to join, and one of the moderators or myself will approve you. Also, before I go, one last very quick reminder to use my promo code on the Lyft app, $50 in ride credit. And again, that code is Backseat Rider, all one word. It's good for new users of the Lyft app. If you haven't signed up yet, please do. Helps me out a lot. And FYI, I really appreciate everybody who has been doing that up until now. This podcast is edited by Bob Gilmartin, and also thank you so much to WTTW and WTTW.com for their support of Backseat Rider. Look for new episodes of the podcast every Wednesday at podcastone.com, the Podcast One app, and if you have an iPhone, make sure that you are subscribed on Apple Podcasts. All right, I'll see you next week, everybody.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys. This has to be like...
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.